It's That Podcast, recording live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios. It's That Podcast, featuring Joe Lindholm and Jason Shirley. I digress. Hello, Brent.
You fret. You got a 10-pound shunk and a 5-pound bet.
It's a good man. Good man in the community. Sup, hot. Tell him your name sent you.
A3.
Live from Studio B, it's That Podcast, featuring Joe. I digress. And Jason.
Hello, Brent. Give me some of that dogger. This up, please. I'll make it enough. Sup, hot.
Tell him your name sent you. Sent you.
Live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios.
It's
That Podcast.
Recording live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios. It's That Podcast, featuring Joe Lindholm and Jason Shirley. I digress.
Hello, Brent. Hey, Fred. You got a 10-pound shunk and a 5-pound bet.
It's a good man. Good man in the community.
Sup, hot. Tell him your name sent you. A3. Live from Studio B, it's
Welcome,
That Podcast, featuring
everyone,
Joe
to It's That Podcast, Episode 6. I'm your co-host, Joe Lindholm, along with Jason Shirley. Jay, tell him what's up.
Hello, friend.
The first real quick note is we hope you can hear the updated audio quality. We've made some changes here in Studio B to help facilitate a little better sound. And I think it sounds better, right?
I like it.
Yeah. So we're ready to rock and roll now. So let's get to the old sports-a-roo.
We'll put pictures up on the Facebook so you can see what the new studio is.
Yeah, man, we'll put up on Facebook. Facebook.com/itsthatpod. Not to plug anything, but...
I got nothing for you this week, Joe.
Yeah, it's been such a slow week.
Stephen Hawking passed away. Craig Mack, RIP. Yeah. Tiger kind of came back, right? I mean, he was second in a tournament.
Yeah, he played all right.
After finishing 1-under on Sunday. Yeah. And that was a walkaway.
Yeah, and had the highest club head speed of any one swing on tour this year.
Impressive.
Yeah. But that's
yeah.
How the hell are we going to fill the show?
WWE, maybe.
No, there's nothing going on. Now, WrestleMania is only a month away. There's nothing going on. Nobody gives a shit.
Yeah. You know, we went to the production meeting at the Western Tap, and yes, we couldn't shut up about how much stuff there is to talk
about for the next
9 hours.
Yeah, we got
so many things have happened.
This will not be 9 hours. However, we have plenty to talk about.
Before we get started, corrections corner.
Yes.
An astute listener of ours reached out and let us know that apparently we had said that perhaps rushing isn't as important as it was in the past in the NFL. I'm not sure that we said that. It's definitely different than it was in the past, but he was very right to point out that both Super Bowl teams were in the top 10 for rushing.
I think our point was one running back.
Yeah.
Workhorse.
Yes.
That's the point we tried to make, was that they're pretty much, it's Leonard Fournette and guys.
Yeah.
Right? That's the point we were trying to make, is that the days of having a running back that did everything.
I mean, there's Fournette, there's Elliott.
Yeah. And you saw how much they went down when Elliott was suspended. So, I mean, it's just we're not saying that rushing isn't as important, because it is important, very important. But I think the point we tried to make was that the one running back motif of how to run the football is almost dead. Like, it's quarterback, it's running back by committee. People aren't going to spend a lot of draft picks or money on a running back, and we're going to get to the draft hopefully later this episode. But
absolutely.
Yeah, but the point we were making was that it's not a one running back team is not – it's rare.
But you're telling me that it's important to still be able to run with the skin of the pig.
Of course.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I believe I mentioned this last episode was that, look, if you can run the football and you can stop the run, you're going to be in good shape for the most part. Now, who's running the ball? Kind of inconsequential on the defensive side, right?
Right.
But I think the days of the LaDainian Tomlinsons, the Walter Paytons, the
Emmitt Smiths.
I was about to say Emmitt Smith. Yeah, those days are pretty much coming to an end when people are realizing that running backs are starting to become a lot like linemen, in that they're a dime a dozen. Like, you can get running backs in the 4th, 5th, 6th round. You don't need to spend top picks on those necessarily. We'll get to Shaquan Barkley later. But as a rule, for most running backs, unless you're elite running back like Ezekiel Elliott, same thing, that teams are more reluctant to draft that at that level of the first round. They'd rather wait and get like DBs, linebackers, wide receivers,
game changers,
yeah,
specialists.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That was I think the point we're trying to make. It wasn't that running is no longer important. That's not clearly not true. It's a matter of the one running back systems are fading quickly.
All right.
That was our point.
Well, now that we've got that correction out of the way, it being Thursday and the tournament in full swing.
Yeah, man.
We don't want to spend a lot of time on brackets because obviously everybody's got them filled out and turned in already.
Yes.
I would like a couple of takes from you on...
I got hot takes. I know you do. Tell you what.
And before I get too far down the road with that, my tournament viewing, in fact, all of my college basketball viewing has really waned.
Yeah, me too.
And I would say in the last 10 years. And, you know, filling out brackets aren't fun anymore when I really haven't. And then I remember being in high school and staying up to watch the games on the West Coast.
Yeah, for sure.
So you could see people.
Who's this Gonzaga? Oh, my God. Yeah, for sure.
Exactly.
Right. And then people now may not understand how that worked, but I mean, look, there was a time when I was a kid where the NCAA tournament was on tape delay. Wrap your head around that.
Right.
Right. ESPN had all of the tournament and they would play like games that were played in the afternoon at like 1 a.m.
Well,
legit.
It used to be flipped too, right? The NIT used to be the big deal.
Way back when.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, like in our age,
in our
15, 16 years old,
tape delay.
For us, they had the NCAA tournament on tape delay, brother.
They had the NBA finals on tape delay.
Yes. I mean, the Olympic hockey game, the miracle game, tape delay.
Yeah.
It wasn't live. Mm-mm. So, I mean, we've progressed much further in technology, obviously, and in interest in the whole nine yards. And TBS and CBS and all those people paid top dollar to have the tournament and more power to them.
Right.
But working where I work, you tend to gain stuff by osmosis. You don't necessarily have to actively watch it, but I can completely understand the casual sports fan or middle interest sports fan not paying a whole lot of attention to college basketball. And a lot of it has to do with, and we talked about this. At the production meeting, one and done's,
right?
Like there's no quote unquote dynasty teams anymore. It's all... And there are teams that are good all the time because they recruit or they pay well or whatever you want to call it, right? Like I'm just saying. John Calipari. Anyway, right?
You know, they all cheat though, Joe, and that's the thing. Am I going to do? Accuse them for cheating better than me?
Correct. Yeah, exactly. Oh man, you cheat so good. How do you do it? Right.
Right. No, but and we talked about this earlier too that. The teams that you used to look forward to watch, UNLV, which is like an all-star team, that Drexler Olajuwon team, Jordan Worthy.
All the Duke teams.
Georgetown.
Grant Hill and Hurley and Georgetown.
Craziness.
Yeah. For sure. And it's, I don't know if it's better or worse. It certainly makes for, there's nothing you can really get behind anymore.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
Right.
Like you can back your team, I guess, but what makes the team are the players on the team. And there's no...
We're starting to sound really old with this. I remember back before free agency.
Hey, Les.
You liked a guy. He was on the team until he wasn't.
Let's talk about the 1965 DePaul Blue Demons.
You know, shit like that. Like, I don't want to sound that old, but
no.
I will say that it's definitely different than when we were younger.
Absolutely it is.
Yeah, but that's the natural... It's a progression. It's not...
Yeah.
No, I'm not... so old that I don't appreciate the progression that's happened.
Well, I was actually excited when it first happened because it gave mid-majors, like my Illinois State Redbirds, chance at the tournament. Yeah. I mean, and if you look, what happened in our Missouri Valley Conference is we've graduated folks to bigger and better conferences.
Yeah.
Creighton went to Big East. Yep. And Wichita State went to the
American. Yeah.
So
just for basketball, they don't have a football team, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and it's in a way it's sad, but in a way it's an indictment of the good teams in these mid-majors are trying to better themselves and trying to put more money in their wallet. Because it's all about money. Don't think for a second it's about competition.
Right.
It's all about money.
Oh, it is.
So they can make more money in the American than they can in the Valley. then you try and do it.
Time to move on.
Yeah. And it's fine and dandy and everything else. But to get behind a team anymore is tough.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you quick NCAA thoughts and then I'm going to get out and let you go.
Okay.
First thing I was excited about, as were you, is Steve Alford is going golfing.
Oh, man. Four?
Yeah. So good riddance. See ya.
Yeah. Good riddance to bad rubbish. That guy is an ass bag of epic proportions. Covered up 2 sexual assaults at Iowa, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Guy's he's a bad dude. Like his mentor, also a bad dude. Bobby Knight, bad dude.
I'm going to agree with you there as well.
Yeah.
The only money interest I have in this is I got in on Auburn and I got in with a piece of Texas Tech. So I will be watching with an eye on those teams. Otherwise, I'll just be watching for enjoyment, which I actually kind of like to do.
Right.
As far as the top seeds go, Villanova, Virginia, Kansas, and who's my?
Xavier.
I'm sorry?
Xavier.
Yeah, Xavier should be, what did I tell you earlier? They should be a 12 seed upsets a 5 seed.
That's what they are. They're
forever.
They're the underdog.
Always.
Right, now not so much.
They're the one where I used to look smart when I would take them.
I'm taking Xavier.
That's right. Who?
Xavier.
How do you spell that?
Where are they at? Who are they?
Mm-hmm.
Another 1 seed. Good luck with that.
Well, we will. We will see.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, there's Duke still there, North Carolina still there,
yeah.
Purdue still there, yeah. And of course Huggy and the Nasty. It's just the Nasty now. No, right. Huggy.
Huggy's hitting up Morgantown bars in West Virginia. Yeah,
correct.
So I'll say my Final Four. Well, I don't know if you have yours handy. You're gonna look it up, but I'll say mine real quick.
Hit it.
I have a 1-1 and 3-2s is my Final Four. So I've got Villanova in the East, Duke in the Midwest,
mm-hmm.
Tar Heels in the West, and Cincinnati in the South. I think Virginia losing that six-man guy, the guy that was really important off the bench, that may not come up to catch him early in the tournament. Like, they're going to handle UMBC easily. UMBC sucks. They're going to probably handle Creighton.
DeAndre Hunter, is that who we're talking about?
Yeah, DeAndre Hunter.
Hurt his wrist?
Yeah, broke his wrist. He goes. But when you go up against a team in the Sweet 16, like I have Arizona at that point, that's when it's going to show. And I think that's when they finally falter. So I have them in the Sweet 16, but losing to Arizona. My pick to win it all is the Tar Heels.
Yeah.
Not super excited about that. Again, the pen makes the picks. As I don't sit there and research. I mean, I have so many numbers at my disposal. I could sit there for longer than I had to do this bracket.
It'd be overwhelming.
Yeah, but see, I got work to do. I got stuff.
Caught in minutia, my friend.
Like, I have work. So I just put the proverbial pen to paper, and this is what came out. So I have UNC and Villanova in the final game with UNC winning. That's my bracket. My biggest upset, that game is being played later today as we tape this on the 15th. I got UNC Greensboro, beating – I got them beating Gonzaga.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's my biggest
seed. That's your bracket buster?
And I also have Davidson beating Kentucky.
Oh.
Because I hate Kentucky. And my ex-boss now, my co-manager at Stats, is a
– Davidson guy?
Went to UK.
Oh.
Big blue guy. A couple guys at work are big UK guys, and it's fine, whatever. But I don't like him. So I'm hoping Davidson takes care of business. And my biggest upset in the Sweet 16 – and it's maybe Homer. I may be drinking the Chicago Kool-Aid, my friend. I am drinking a Chicago beer, by the way. Fist City, hello. Loyola, Chicago. I have them beating Miami today, and I have them beating Tennessee on Saturday.
I like it.
In the Sweet 16. Mainly because I also hate Tennessee. Bruce Pearl can go eat the entire bag. Just my 2 cents.
No, they would be my sentimental pick this year as well.
Yeah.
Well, and being in the Valley now.
I am losing to Cincinnati, so I mean, whatever. But... you know, let me see. Some other upsets I might have on here. I have Texas beating Nevada. I have Butler beating Arkansas. And I have New Mexico State beating Clemson. I have a vested interest in that because at work, they put us on teams.
Mm-hmm.
And the further, like if your team wins at all, you get like an Amazon gift card or whatever. So I have a vested interest in New Mexico State. I was assigned New Mexico State.
Oh, well, there you are.
even though I have them losing to Auburn in the next round. But hey, you know, you got to make, you got to do what you got to do. So,
you do.
Whatever. But my bracket's pretty chalk. And the way it usually works with me, I don't know how it works with you, but usually I have one day that's like 500. And then the next day I'm like 14-2. Like it's just or the way it works.
No, I'm pretty much out after day one, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. I have Thursday. I have one day, and it varies from year to year, but I have one day where I'm like 500.
Yeah.
Like I lost here, win there. As long as my Sweet 16 stays intact, that's really kind of all that matters.
Yeah.
But then one day where I just kill it. And I'm hoping today's that day because that would mean Loyola is going to win today.
Nice.
So I hope today's that day.
Well, you said the pen makes the picks, and my heart holds my pen. Not my head, my friend.
No.
So
no, mine too.
That's why I'm normally out in day one.
Right. And I have so many numbers at my disposal. It's analysis, paralysis by analysis. I could sit there for days and sit there and go, oh, well, these point guards are this and they do well with this and did the thing with the thing and the thing. And I don't bother with anything. I'm just like you guys, man. I just let the pen make the choices. I don't think about it. I don't research it. I just let things happen.
All right. Well, you heard what Joe said. UNC takes it all.
Tar Heels. That's my pick.
All right.
Yep.
Let's move on to the NFL. There's
nothing happened. What are you talking about?
Quite a bit to talk about there.
God. Can we just end? There's nothing else to talk about.
Vikings.
Just kidding, of course.
Vikings get their guy.
Yeah, apparently.
I talked to Mr. Viking, and he was happy with the choice, and especially happy that Seaman.
Yeah. Is going to be the backup.
Is going to be the backup.
Right, they traded for him?
Yes. So and that looks good.
Look, again, they had three quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And one could argue Kirk Cousins is better than all three of them. You can make that argument.
I believe you can.
For sure.
I mean, especially because Bridgewater is such a question mark at this point.
And Bradford's.
No, he's garbage.
And Case Keenum's Case Keenum.
Yeah.
One way or another, it's going to turn it back into a pumpkin at some point. But my point is this. For the amount of money they spent.
Yeah.
That they could have upgraded other areas of their need and still had a quarterback under control for far less than Kirk Cousins is making. And all of his money is guaranteed. All of it. Every dime of it. So it's like, if you're the Vikings, you're happy you have a true quarterback, I guess.
Right.
But at the same point, you could have a little bit lesser quarterback, but have a really good linebacker that you could have signed, or another wide receiver in Allen Robinson, for example.
Things like that. I see what you're saying.
Like you could have spent that money, could have spent that money elsewhere. But if you believe in Kirk Cousins and you think he's the shit, and
they must think that they were a quarterback away from the Super Bowl. And I don't believe that he was the reason that they lost that game.
Me neither.
So
I don't know. They get paid far more money, far much more money than we do, and they know what they're doing.
Yeah, that's true.
I would hope.
No, that's true.
And their team was that close to the Super Bowl now. And if they thought Kirk Cousins was the difference, then great. Okay. Then go do it. But my point is that you could have brought Case Keenum back for probably half the money. And then
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think after you have a year like he had, you're looking for $20 million from somebody.
Maybe. But
I mean, what did the Broncos give him? I don't even know.
I don't have no idea.
Do you know how many years he got?
No.
Yeah, see, I know this for a fact, that the other two only got a one-year deal because the Jets are rolling the dice on Bridgewater.
They are.
Just to see if he's going to fall apart.
And the Cardinals are the same thing.
They gave Radford a one-year deal, and that's, in my mind, that's retirement money.
Yeah.
I mean, that's he's 1 year, and then
I don't know, there was a...
be a coach.
There was a tweet somewhere I saw that Sam Bradford has made over $120 million. $120 million for Sam Bradford in his career.
Well, what I want to research is what the backup the Bears just got.
Oh.
That kid.
Chase Daniel?
Yeah.
I don't think he made as much as
Bradford. No, but he's never had to play.
No.
Ever?
No, he hasn't. But, I mean, Bradford at least showed some skill before he got hurt.
But then he was continuously
the guy's hurt. Just always hurt.
Like he's always
right. Hurt. And I don't know. What do you do with that? Like I don't understand why the Cardinals would spend that much money on him and Mike Glennon and then cut Tyrann Mathieu.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see signing one of them and then keeping Mathieu, but there had to have been something that went south.
Something is not right there.
No.
Arians left, right? I mean,
Yeah, Bruce Arians retired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want to be a part of that. And now, well, I'm just saying, seeing the changes that have happened now,
yeah,
it makes a lot of sense.
Kind
of.
And it's, look, the Cardinals, I understand Carson Palmer, meh, right? He was a probably average to below average quarterback in the NFL.
I'm going to give him average at least.
Okay, all right. But they definitely, I don't know if they upgraded. If Bradford's can stay healthy, Bradford can stay healthy, that's upgrade. For sure, I think. Because Bradford, that dude can throw the ball downfield.
Okay.
He can get it up there to Larry Fitzgerald and company pretty regularly. He's got a good arm. But his arm wasn't the thing that got hurt. Like his, you know, it was his legs, his knees, and stuff like that that went south.
And his head. I mean, that game against the Bears, yeah, when they brought him back.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was kind of a sitting duck. But at the same point, it's like, and I don't want to quite, I mean, clearly they know what they're doing because they wouldn't be GMs if they didn't.
Right.
But I go back to the money. It's like you can spend all that money on one of the mill quarterbacks.
Or pay the honey badger.
Or pay the honey badger.
Yeah.
Like, pay him.
Pay him.
Right? Yeah. Somebody's going to.
Fitzgerald's the face of the team, but yeah, he's also going to retire after this year.
Yeah, for sure. It sounds like, according to the Twitters, that Matthew's going to go to the Giants.
That's what I saw that too.
Yeah. So
they haven't spent a dollar yet.
No. Not a dime. And if I was a Giants fan, I would have lost my shit a long time ago.
Right?
And look, this is coming from Bears fans, right? One of the most poorly run teams in the NFL.
But it was 85, my friend.
Right. Everybody's cashing in on that shit, right?
Still.
And it was 2006. I mean, yeah. But at the same point, like, look, I got to give the Bears credit, and I got to give Ryan Pace credit.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
He tried once with Fox and failed. And the way most GMs work is you get one fuck up.
You get your one hire.
Right.
Yeah.
You get your one fuck up and then you need to go. Well, he had his fuck up, right? And he hired on the new head coach, Nagy, and we'll see what happens from there. I mean, he certainly is giving him weapons, right? When you go out and sign,
he got a Santa Claus bag full of guys.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's kind of what I like about Pace is I'm in it to win it. This is going to work or I'm out.
Right.
I mean, he's laying all the cards on the table right now.
Yeah.
And he signed an extension.
He got an extension the same time that he signed Nagy.
And their contracts. They're married. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, and they did.
He doesn't survive another bad coach.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
He may not survive another bad season.
Mm.
And by bad, I mean like 4 wins or less.
Okay. All right.
If he goes out and goes 8-8 this year, 7-9, he'll save his job.
I think with just the lineup that they just picked up.
I can't imagine
that. That's a 7-win season.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? That's got to be the over-under, right? Yeah, 7?
And look, Robinson's coming off an injury, but he certainly has shown in the past that he'd be number one wide receiver. And remember?
Yeah.
Remember, friends, everybody out there in podcast land, Blake fucking Bortles was his quarterback.
Right.
And he caught, 1,400 yards and 13 touchdowns, something like that?
Well, he was hurt last year.
Right. He was dead.
The year before was the first Bortles year.
Yeah.
And his his production decreased significantly.
Right.
He went that year. In 16, he had 73 grabs for 883 and 6 touchdowns.
Yeah.
15 was 80 grabs.
Yeah.
For 1,400 yards and 14 touchdowns. Right.
And that's...
So that's the guy you want.
Right. That's the guy you're paying for.
Right.
You're definitely not paying for last year because he was hurt.
Right.
Probably not paying that amount of money for the year before that, but you're definitely paying for his 14 season?
15.
15 season. That's the one you're paying for.
Yep.
And you can only hope that he can reproduce that. I think he may not be like that level good, but certainly Trubisky certainly has way more upside than Blake Bortles. Blake Bortles is who he is now.
Right. Like
you've
seen it.
You've seen it. You've sown the seeds. This is what it is. Trubisky has upside. There's certainly things he has to get better at, but being last year was his first year, he will get better at it. Right?
Now, when did they re-sign Bortles? around playoff time?
I don't remember.
Because it seemed to me that Bridgewater would have been a much better fit in Jacksonville than Bortles.
For sure. Yeah. It could be a skosh about loyalty, right? Because the Jags were in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
So it's, are you loyal to this guy who's...
Yeah, but Trent Dilfer got shown the door the year that he won the Super Bowl.
Rex Grossman was quarterback in the Bears in 2006.
Nah.
That guy sucks. Like, there's don't
pass to that guy.
Don't pass to that guy. He sucks. You suck. That's Grossman. He sucks. Oh, this guy's terrible.
We could spend an hour on good Rex, bad Rex, but I just don't have it in me.
There's just those days that he was good,
and then
there are those days where he had a zero quarterback.
Really bad.
How do you get a zero quarterback? I mean, you got like 30 for signing your name, and he got zero. Like, how does that even happen?
0.0.
Blutarski. That's right. Oh, boy. But overall, I think in summary, I think the Bears did a great job.
Yeah, we...
Filling needs.
We haven't even run down yet. We got Taylor Gabriel, possession red zone tight end, who should be awesome.
Oh, Trey's going to be the man.
Cody Parkey. Could be a Pro Bowl kicker,
which is something
we haven't seen since Robbie Gould.
No, and Soldier's Field, my friend, is a lot different to kick in than Joe Robbie or whatever the hell it's called.
Oh, wait, did I say Gabriel? I meant Burton.
Yeah, Trey Burton.
But tight end.
Gabriel was the possession receiver.
He's the possession receiver.
Yeah. And he's Trey Burton's kind of a red zone guy, right?
That's
something the Bears thought they were getting in Adam Shaheen, and he's shown flashes of it. But he's not Zach Miller, who's unfortunately sports dead.
Right.
Unfortunately. It sucks. I hope he comes back, and I hope he can. I don't think he's going to come back and play football.
I don't know how you can. I mean, at first they were hoping they could save his leg.
Right.
And so to be able to walk from that, it's amazing. To play football again, I
probably not.
Don't think that's happening.
I don't think so either.
What I liked, what Robinson said about coming to the Bears was the reason he chose the Bear was because of Nagy's offensive mind and what he did in Kansas City.
And the money.
Well, I think anybody could have given them money. You don't think people would have...
Niners could have given them money. Niners have a shit ton of cap room. But yeah,
What did the Browns give Landry? They had to have thrown a... Well, they traded for him. Okay.
Yeah. And well,
that does it.
And they got to pay him the full franchise tag, though, I think, right? Because I think the Dolphins franchised him, then traded him.
I think that's right.
So they got to pay him the franchise tag, $14 million, something like that. Some outrageous amount of money.
And then Chase Daniel is essentially coming here to teach Trubisky Nagy's system, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're thinking.
That's what it sounds like. And again, they may also re-sign Sanchez for $1 million. Because, I mean, Trubisky has gone on record to say that Sanchez helped him a great deal in the offseason.
Learn how to butt fumble? Or
yes, exactly.
Okay.
But with just basic NFL quarterbacking, right? You know? And he may come to a time he's going to outgrow it, and maybe that time is now. I don't know. But they signed Chase Daniel to basically, to teach him, to coach him up, I would think so, yeah.
All right. Well, the only other two people we haven't talked about that the Bears have picked up, again, they re-signed Prince Amukamara.
They did.
And brought back Sam Acho. Which
another good call.
I'm
down for both.
I am. I liked everybody they picked up.
Yeah. It was a good day yesterday.
If I'm sitting here in October bitching about any of these people, which is very likely.
Distinctly possible.
Somebody just point that out to me. That right now, I love it.
Today, I love it. And I listened to AM1000 on the way down here today, down to Strawberry Blonde Studios, Studio B. And they were talking about Wilbon, I guess, was on yesterday with a different show on ESPN, talking about how crappy the Bears still are. Like, no...
Don't get excited.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, don't enjoy this. Don't get excited. Yeah, Wilbon's a...
What is that about?
Piece of crap.
Okay.
If he's a representative of Chicago to the nation on ESPN, that's a bad...
Bad look.
It's like Jim Belushi being the Chicago guy, right? Nobody wants that shit.
No. Keep it.
We're
good.
Exactly.
Let's talk about the draft, Joe.
Yeah, man. Let's do this. I got numbers.
I like numbers.
Yeah, man. That's all I do for numbers, right? It's kind of what I do for a living. I went through and I did a little research on the at least according to the mock draft I printed out, take it for whatever it's worth, the number one pick is Saquon Barkley. And the NFL posted a thing on Twitter about his combine splits, right? Like the different like weights, whatever. Okay, so let's get cracking in that real quick. So Joe Thomas, just retired from the Browns, possible Hall of Fame lineman. Take that for whatever it's worth. The Browns are terrible. He was never 1-0 in his entire career. So take it for whatever.
That's quite an achievement.
That's getting it done.
Never.
Never, ever.
1-0.
Never. So he bench pressed 28 reps at, I believe it's 220 or 225 or something like that, right?
220, 221.
Something like that. Barkley, one more rep. So he did 29. 10-yard split. DeSean Jackson, arguably one of the fastest players in the NFL.
He'll be the first to tell you.
Yeah, man. Just ask him. 1.55 seconds. Barkley, 1.54 seconds. Now, that's statistically insignificant. You know, it's not a big deal. 40-yard dash. A guy we're both very familiar with, Devin Hester. Mm. 4.43 in the 40.
Wow.
That's fast. That's real fast. Barkley, 4.4, like on the nose. Vertical jump, Julio Jones, who can go up and get pretty much anything, right?
Guagi
is our guy. Much love, Matt Spiegel, and we're going to get to that too. 38.5-inch vertical for Julio Jones. Barkley, 41-inch vertical. This guy is a physical freak. Now, does that translate to NFL greatness? It can. I'm not saying it doesn't. It can.
Tony Mandrich was quite a specimen, Joe.
You read my mind, my friend. I mean, he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, the whole nine yards, about he's the next big thing, and he sucked the entire bag.
Oh, all of them. He didn't save one for anyone else.
And I think he was super roided out, too. Mm-hmm. But that's alleged. I don't know that to be true.
Look at his bird legs.
No doubt.
Jeez.
He's like a Road Warrior Hawk. Anyway, so the draft order is the Browns obviously have the first pick. And the Giants pick second. It's then Colts, Browns again, because they have the Texans pick. Then the Broncos at 5, Jets at 6, Bucks at 7, and the Bears at 8. So you can make some, if you're a Bears fan, you can make some assumptions about this order in front of you, right?
Right.
We can assume that the Browns are going to go running back quarterback. They want Barkley. It seems like that's their guy, and they want a quarterback. So they have 1-4, the Browns do.
They just got Taylor, I thought.
It doesn't matter.
Oh.
No, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
They did just get, I'm not saying you're wrong, they did just get Tyrod Taylor.
Okay.
But that's not the end-all be-all.
Okay.
Right? They want a long-term solution. They've been trying to draft the quarterback for the last 10 years, and yet to capitalize on any of it.
I still have a Colt McCoy jersey, in case anybody's interested.
eBay. Check it out. So we can make some assumptions, right? So we know Browns, we're 98% sure they're going to go Barkley 1 and then a quarterback at 4, right? We know Giants are going to take quarterback. Eli Manning's old and bad.
And yes, not part of the plan.
No, he's not part of their future plan. So they're going to take quarterback. Rumor, the mock draft I'm looking at right now says Sam Darnold. We'll see. The Colts need everything. They're like the Bears. They need a lot of things. But one thing they really need is a pass-rushing defensive end. So the mock draft I'm looking at says they're going to take Bradley Chubb out of NC State. And then 4 is the Browns to take their quarterback. According to what I'm looking at right now is Josh Allen, but that could also be Sam Bradford.
I am going to interrupt you here, Joe. The Colts aren't going to consider a quarterback.
No. They should, but they're not.
They're
all in on Andrew Luck.
Okay.
I think they are. I mean, I could be wrong.
Ask and answer, counselor.
Yeah. So I think the next two teams, the Broncos at 5 and the Jets at 6, are both going to take quarterbacks. The Buccaneers were dead last in 2017 in against the pass. So they're going to take a defensive player. This mock draft says it's going to be Minkah Fitzpatrick, DB from Alabama, which would be... He'd look good on the Bears, but it is what it is. Now we're at 8, right?
Right.
Bears are not going to take quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to take a wide receiver at this point now after signing 2.5 wide receivers. I mean, Trey Burton's kind of a all-in-one tight end running wide receiver guy. You know, you've got Gabriel and you've got Robinson to go along with.
If you forget, if you forget Cam Meredith, we're going to have mad squabbles.
They actually tendered Meredith and Bellamy, I believe. I could be wrong. Meredith for sure.
No, it was Meredith and Kendall.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Right. So wide receiver, probably not. And they still have some guy named Kevin White.
Oh.
Some guy, yeah. He's ripped, though. Like, he's 12-pack.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All over Instagram.
Sure. All over it.
Catch something. Stay healthy.
Yeah. Don't get hurt. At any rate, we didn't mean to yell at Kevin White. No. Well, actually, we did, but. So they're not going to take wide receiver, to get back to the argument. So they're not going to take wide receiver. They're not going to take, they might take DB, but if Fitzpatrick is off the list, then they won't take a DB, I don't think. After signing McNamara and
Acho.
And Kyle Fuller.
Oh. See, well, we fought about this last week, so I'll leave that alone.
Right.
But Helmet has him taking Tremaine Edmonds from Virginia Tech. The linebacking freak. Right.
So this is where we get to.
To go with Trevathan,
yeah.
Acho. That looks pretty good.
And Kwiatkowski, or whatever.
I like that kid.
Polish guy. He's good. Yeah. A Polish guy. He ran around a lot. Did a lot of good things.
He did.
He was good.
Special teams.
So the linebacker could be a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Offensive line, also a possibility. Now, this mock draft and a couple more that I've seen is Quentin Nelson from Notre Dame, the guard.
I've seen that as well.
Now, they, going back to the sports show I now listen to, yesterday, on the way to work, they had Bill Polian on. David Kaplan and him were tight. So they had Bill Polian and talked about, Polian did not necessarily, what's the word I'm looking for? He didn't crap on Nelson the pick, but he definitely said, and Polian was like, look, this guy's a special player. He's a all the above, right? But he said guards are a dime a dozen. Guards you can get. He brought up the name and I forgot it already, but a guy just signed for big money, guard, that was an undrafted free agent. Linemen and especially guards are pretty common to be NFL caliber guards, right?
You're not going to spend your eighth pick in the first round on a guard, is that's what he's saying.
Correct. He's not saying he's a bad player. He's not saying that he may not be a top 10 or a top first round player to be chosen.
We went 2 years with our best player being a guard slash tackle.
Correct.
Kyle Long. I don't want to do that anymore.
Right. That's the point. And that's the point that Kaplan made after the interview, was that your best player shouldn't be a guard.
No.
So I would love it if they took a linebacker, if they took Tremaine Edmonds, or if they even went up, and this may be a little bit of a stretch, and maybe take another DB, a cornerback this time. Denzel Ward from Ohio State is also a possibility. You can do a lot with that pick. There's a lot of possibilities, and one of the possibilities, and arguably the possibility that I want the most, trade down.
Well, and see, we argued about this last week too.
Yeah.
That Jerry Angelo, ceiling floor guy, was always too afraid to stay in there and take somebody and put his stamp on it, where it was like, no, look at all, you know, look at the
amount.
Look at the value that I brought you.
Yeah, right.
And like his best players always came from the seventh round
or
whatever. Right. You know, it was like, and they were good guys, but he never.
Yeah. I understand exactly what you're saying, right?
But I'm with you 100%.
Now, Pace.
After I said that,
Pace has absolutely shown us that he's willing.
He traded up for Trubisky,
right? Exactly.
Right.
He's willing to hang in there, and not only hang in there, but maybe improve himself, right?
Right.
And this may be a possibility of trading, of maybe even trading up. But if you're going to trade up, who would you trade up to get?
I wouldn't,
because there's nothing above you that you necessarily need,
right?
I'm looking at this mock draft. It's literally all Saquon Barkley and quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Right?
And no.
It's and Chubb, maybe.
Okay.
The defensive end. But, I mean, it's Barkley, Darnold, Allen, Bradford, Rosen. You know, it's all these guys you don't need.
Is that Bills deal still on the table, do you know?
Bears,
they offer the Bears a first round 21.
Yeah.
and 22 for number 8.
Boy.
Doesn't that sound good?
If that's...
After what you know now?
Right. But then it goes back to... Well, it'll be 22. 21 is the Bengals pick. They got it from the Bills, but yeah.
Oh, so then that's off the table.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that might have been involved in one of the trades.
Got it.
But yeah. But at any rate, the point I'm trying to make is Pace has his work cut out for him right now. It's not like it's a given who is there for him to take. It's completely up in the air. The positions he should consider, obviously, is Quentin Nelson, linebacker, or DB. Do you even, and you've thrown all your money in this free agent period, I'm trying to double check everything in my head, I think all the money's been on offense except for the kicker, right? All wide receivers, Trey Burton, tight end wide receiver.
You're not calling kicker offense?
No. He's just a guy. I'm not saying he's better than who they had.
The highest scoring bear of all time, my friend, is Robbie Gold.
Right, of course. I would not never take anything away from that, my friend. But I'm just saying that there's, right? Like,
no, I know.
What do you do? Like, if you're Pace, do you have the balls to trade up again? But again, if you trade up, what are you really getting?
No.
In my opinion, if you're going to do anything to trade, you're trading down.
Yeah. And get as many picks as possible.
And you hope one of them hits. You know, like this mock draft I'm looking at, you know, at that level, you're talking, you know, 18, the Seahawks, because they got rid of Richard Sherman. They're talking about drafting a cornerback. Cowboys, defensive tackle. Lions, running back. But they just got Frank Gore, I believe, signed with the Lions. So that's out. Bengals, center. Bills, tackle. Rams, wide receiver. That's the kind of positions you're looking at. And that's the help you need. Maybe not running back, but... That's the things you need. If you can get a defensive tackle and a linebacker down at that level.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. And I'm defense, offensive line, and I want another running back.
I think they will draft a running back. I just don't think it won't be the first couple rounds.
Oh, no.
No, but certainly.
Like you mentioned at the top of the show.
Yeah.
You don't need to do that anymore.
No. But you need, the problem is you have the two extremes. Right.
Right now you do.
You've got Jordan Howard north south.
Yes.
Tariq Cohen east west. He's the guy you run on sweeps. Like I said last episode.
Why?
Watching Jordan Howard running a sweep makes me cry.
Oh.
You just can't do it.
No.
So you need that middle guy who can a double threat. Or maybe even a triple threat, being able to catch the ball, because Jordan Howard can't catch the ball. Jordan Howard runs forward.
Right.
He goes this way, forward. Tariq Cohen can go forward, but he's a little guy. If you send him too far forward, he's gonna get his ass beat.
The human joystick threw a touchdown, too.
And he has a higher passer rating than...
And Mike Glennon.
And Mike Glennon.
We should probably say that every week until the season.
We probably should. And again, look, I understand why the Bears signed him, but it is what it is. It is what it is. Like, what are you going to do? Like, Mike Glennon. He's a Cardinal now. He's gone, which is fine. You know, more power to him. But... If you're a Cardinals fan today, how
can you be excited about anything?
You can't. You really can't. As much as
except having a stadium that where nobody goes to class.
Exactly. University of Phoenix Stadium. Where's your campus? It's over there.
It's in your house.
It's in your house. WWE in your house? Bad Blood? My favorite pay-per-views of all time? No, I digress. But yeah, that's our opinion on the NFL. Like, I just think the draft, it's very intriguing. Whenever you have one of those lower top end 7, 8, 9, 10 picks, it's an interesting draft. Because, like, if you have the top couple, 2, 3, 4, 5.
It's pretty much spelled out for who you're going to take.
Yeah. The schedule makes the schedule, as we like to say. So if you know this guy's going to be here, then you know that guy. You know, it's 7 and 8, 9, 10 where you have the possibility of a reach or a trade down. Or you draft, like all the mock drafts I've seen, that they take this guard from Notre Dame, which, you know, he played for the offensive line coach now with the Bears. There's video of him just being a freak, blocking-wise. I mean, is he everybody's saying all-pro level guard already? Like,
Is
that tallest midget level?
Is any guard a top 10 pick?
Right. That's the hard part.
I don't...
And I think Bill Polian, a guy that's GM championship teams and the whole nine yards... would have a little knowledge on that.
More than I, for sure.
And he's like, no knock against Quentin Nelson, but you don't take him at 8.
Right.
That's not a bad choice.
Well, and I guess it goes down to draft philosophy again.
Right.
Do you take the best guy available on the board,
yeah,
or do you draft for need?
Pace always claims his best guy available.
And, well, going out and picking up what he did in free agency makes me think that's what he is actually looking at.
Yeah. And
he addressed a lot of needs through free agency.
He addressed his receiver needs.
Yeah.
Which, through the draft, is tough to do. To fill as bad as they were, to fill 3 holes on your receiving core in the draft is almost impossible. Right. You have to spend money to do that. And in my opinion, he spent it all correctly. He spent it on the upside, down the field guy. He spent it on possession guy, and he spent it on the red zone guy. And that's all you can ask for at this point, right?
Well, let's look at his track record. Josh Sitton, I wasn't real excited about. I thought anybody that the Packers would let go, there's a reason they're letting him go. And it wasn't just because they didn't want to pay him big dollars.
I liked him, but at the same point, yeah, I agree with you. The fact they cut him wasn't super surprising.
Yeah. No. So.
And it goes back to guard.
Here you are.
Right? And maybe Kyle Long isn't, he's meant to be a guard. Like, everybody wants to move to tackle. That may not be his strong suit, maybe guard.
Right.
And if that is, then you play him there.
Leave him there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have to just go out and get, not to say that you can't get, you know, when cut down happens in training camp, that you can't pick up a guard. You know, like, guards are kind of, I don't want to say they're a dime a dozen necessarily, but they're pretty, the need to spend a lot of money and or draft one high is not prevalent.
Best player on the offensive line, left tackle still? Does that,
yeah,
what you're looking at?
Yeah.
You're
protecting the quarterback blindside?
Yeah. Okay.
Has to be.
There was some discussion about it that there were more left-handed quarterbacks in the league, that may change, but it's not anywhere changing. Near.
No. Right. And if they have left third quarterback, then obviously you're going to have a right tackle. That's
Will Fuhrer.
Exactly. Oh, jeez. Come on.
All right. Before we leave the NFL, there was one last hit I wanted to get, right, and that's guaranteed money.
Yes.
This is a league that has never given guaranteed
money.
They
make, for the record, billions of dollars, this league brings in.
More than any other major sports league. Yes. Is that correct?
Yeah.
I mean, in my mind, the NBA, even though it's skewed toward the owner, it's still the most fair toward the player.
The Thursday night football streaming rights that Amazon bought, $1 billion.
This is the Thursday night game that is typically garbage.
Awful.
And they make them wear the monochrome uniforms, which,
in my opinion, those games should never, ever be played, ever.
I agree. I mean, if you're worried about watering down your product,
ever shouldn't is the wrong word. Thanksgiving's fine.
Oh,
it's
a
tradition,
right?
But other than that,
no,
there should never be a Thursday night game.
No.
Or if you're gonna play them on Thursday night, you give them a bye week the week before.
I agree.
That's the way it should work. Thursday night football sucks.
You can put it in the back of a truck with playing in England and just drive that out of town.
Right off the cliff.
You can
keep all that.
I mean, I understand. And in England, I understand wanting to expand the brand and become a world sport.
How much more money are you going to make?
No.
How much money do you need to make? No. And here's another thing about
it's a novelty England. To people
England,
in England.
England football. Get this shit. Okay, so.
American football in England, Jeff?
Whatever.
No, all right.
In England, football in England, whatever. Tottenham, which is an EPL team, always, you know, they're in the heart of London. They're building a new stadium, right? It's going to be state of the art, every bell and whistle. They're going to have their own brewery. I mean, the whole nine yards.
So they're going to rival Man U and.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
In terms of revenue. All right. Now, their new stadium, the grass pitch, folds away to reveal a sport turf NFL field. So when the NFL expands, which everybody says they're going to go to London, right? Have a team in London. The stadium is already done. It's already set. It's going to be at Tottenham. It's going to be at White Hart Lane. How nuts, right? You can take a grass soccer pitch. I mean, it's kind of like University of Phoenix Stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of the same vein, but the pictures I've seen, it's kind of on like three pieces.
Okay.
It's not a University of Phoenix Stadium. It's all one piece that slides in and slides out.
Got it.
This is like three pieces that slide to the side.
So it's more like the Bulls going on top of the ice.
It's kind of. Okay. Exactly. Kind of like that. But there's a sport turf, full NFL ready.
Ground up pitch, tires.
Rubber and everything under the soccer pitch. Under it.
That's crazy.
So they have grass on top. Like, what? It's amazing. Like, whoever designed that stadium and had the forethought clearly has an inside track to the franchise. So the people who own Tottenham have to have some sort of inner track with Goodell or something to get a team put there.
Well, does the cat that owns Jacksonville, doesn't he own Man U?
Yeah, or a part owner in it? No, it's not Man U.
It's not Man United?
That's the guy that owns the Red Sox. Or owned the Red Sox, owns a piece of, I believe, Arsenal.
Oh, okay.
And Khan does own a piece of something. Maybe Tottenham. I could be wrong.
Okay.
Oh, we'll have to research it. We'll update everybody in the next episode.
Tommy, get on that. Write that down.
Come on. Hey, quiet over there. The keyboard's cracky. Easy. Anyway, we'll research it for next episode. But
I digress. Back to...
back to the point.
Back to the point of guaranteed money in the NFL, which is insane to me.
Yeah.
And not in a bad way. These people take the biggest beatings.
Yeah.
If there's any league that really deserved to have guaranteed money,
it's the NFL.
It's the NFL.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, and I know I've told you this story before, but I always go back to Golic and like him getting shot up to pass his physical with the Dolphins.
Yep.
And so he would make his signing bonus.
And then out.
And then it's like, I'm retiring. Yeah. I can't do this.
Yeah.
And I never faulted that guy for that.
No.
Just because when they look at you in the NFL and say, you know what? We don't want you anymore.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
And you're done.
That's it, man.
It's over.
Yeah.
And that's why they can't do lockouts, is because these cats don't save their money at all. Their money is spent. They need those checks.
If you want to see one of the greatest 30 for 30s ever, watch the one called Broke.
It is so good.
It's heartbreaking.
It is.
They have so many NFL players. And then there's a couple NBA players. But the NBA players they do have are honestly, except for Walker, who gambled all his money away, it's all good. It's positive because they're the ones that NBA guaranteed contracts.
Right.
They were investing their money. And they still, a lot of them still are, in other things. So that post-NBA... they're ready to go.
They put money in Lenny Dykstra's.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
okay. Yeah, maybe the Ponzi scheme. But the NBA guys were far more stable's the wrong word, but they were far more financially solvent, put it that way, than the NFL guys were. And I think that's kind of why they put them up there. And there was a couple of baseball players. Cliff Floyd was one.
Right.
Homer Bush was another one where Cliff Floyd put his money aside. Homer Bush didn't. I mean, that's kind of the dichotomy they were trying to gun for.
Right. And there were guys in there that I wouldn't have expected. Bernie Kosar.
Yeah.
I mean, any
athlete has to understand that they're only going to play for so long.
You got a shelf life.
You have to make the entire money for the rest of your life.
In that window.
For probably 90% of the players. Right.
Yeah.
That's your money-making window. You got to make it all for the rest of your life.
And your family.
And your family.
You need to make generational money.
Yes. Right.
In 5 years.
If you get there, you have. That's what you have to do. Now, not getting there, that's another story.
Right.
Clearly. But once you're there, you got to make your nut.
And that's what broke my heart. I think that was, that 30 for 30 is the one that talked about Vince Young missing like the plane with the team.
Yeah.
So he would charter an entire jet to fly.
Himself.
To meet the team.
Yeah.
And... come on, man.
Or he'd go to TGI Fridays and then make him the Vince Young shot. And they would go there every night. And he'd buy 100, and they were just kamikazes.
That's all they were, right? Yeah, but spending 100 grand.
Yeah. Just dropping. Andre Rison was the same way. This is brutal.
That cat needs a new house, as far as I know.
Yeah, and probably a new, maybe a little change on his female dynamic too.
Oh, left eye.
We miss her so much.
All right, well, that was it for the NFL. Yeah. Let's go to MLB pickups, man.
Let's do that real quick.
We talked about the collusion from before that was either there or not there, right, depending on
Where you were.
Where you were.
Yeah.
But Arrieta to the Phillies.
Yep.
That looked
for a lot of money. Short term. And this
and
is
again,
what, we talked about this in the production meeting. My idea of long-term contract is like 4 or 5 years plus.
Jake got three.
He got three for 75.
A big dosh.
Big dosh. He's, and they front-loaded it.
Yeah.
So it's 30 this year. $30 million for Jake Arrieta. Wrap that around your head, Cubs fans. $30 million. 30. And it's a quarter of Yu Darvish's contract.
But see,
right? Didn't Darvish have for 125, 126?
But you know what? I mean, it really is more of the Phillies showing their fans and the rest of the team, we think we can do this with the kids we have right now.
And they sell a lot of tickets.
Yeah.
The Phillies, Philly fans are pretty loyal, and they fill up the park for the most part. So for the owner to step up and pay that dough is a tribute to the fans and everything. And God bless him, and I hope he kicks ass and takes names. Part of me says he won't, but
part of me says he's paying for the past.
Yes, but that's the way most baseball contracts are, right? It's very rarely for
future. I can tell you the 1978 Cubs contracts were all that.
Of course. But now, Bill Medlock's not impressed. But
no. Herman Frank's
not impressed. Is very angry. But my point is, you get paid in baseball, you pay for your past, for the most part. Dexter Fowler, Jason Hayward.
But it's normally with another team.
Right.
The team you're on goes, we've seen the best of that.
We've seen that for like 360 games, dude. Yeah. We're done. But yeah, it's a matter of, okay, let's capitalize on this. Let's get them while we can and pay them when we can, which is now, in terms of Arrieta.
Mm-hmm.
Pay them $30 million this year and $25 next year and then $20. So it's the philosophy's right.
Right.
But that's a lot of money, man. And then it comes down to this. Kershaw's a free agent, or he can opt out of his contract next year.
Yeah.
He's not a free agent. He just can opt out.
We hit this every week, man.
If you pay Jake Arrieta $30 million fucking dollars.
Right. What's Kershaw going to get?
What's Clayton Kershaw going to get?
Yeah.
40?
Yeah,
50?
But Arrieta is the exception to that rule this year.
Correct.
He was the only one that made that kind of money.
Right. Darvish made decent money.
Right.
25, right? It was 5 for 126.
I think that's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think the Cubs were the ones that wanted the extra year. Just as a security blanket for themselves.
Agreed.
Like, if we're going to pay $126 million, we want another year.
We want control.
And they took care of it. And they did. Yeah. You know, they took care of them.
Well, so Arrieta and Lucroy to Oakland were the two big names that came off that list.
Yeah, Jonathan Lucroy was weird. And Cargo re-signed with the Rockies.
Yes, but this is what I was getting to. Yeah. Everybody else took a one-year deal to bet on themselves.
Yeah, Moustakas and Gonzalez. Next year, when there might be more money to be had.
Right. Moustakas stayed in KC. Yep. Carrion stays in...
Yeah, Cargo stayed in Colorado.
Right.
Yeah.
Neil Walker goes to the Yankees for a year. But again, that's Sam Bradford retirement money in my mind.
And it's a one-year deal.
For sure.
It's a one-year deal.
But he's not betting on himself is what I'm saying. I'm saying he took a one-year deal because that's it.
Right. This could be his last big contract.
He might get an offer to camp next year.
Yeah. He may be a non-roster invitee.
All right.
For the White Sox.
What's the big clock on the wall say, Joe?
Clive and Wall says about time to wrap this one up.
All right, buddy. Well, we will be back next week.
Yeah.
We'll hit you with some Cubs and Sox and NBA and some Chicago radio.
Yeah.
I think we need to talk about that just so I can purge my soul.
Me too. All right. So,
all right, brother. Good to see you.
So you can hit us up on itsthatpodcast.com. You can hit us up on Twitter. I am Triple Lindy's, or at Triple Lindy's. This is at J Sleep Shirley on Twitter. And our Facebook page is facebook.com/itsthatpod. We thank you for listening. Hope you tune in next time. Thank you for listening to It's That Podcast.